We are starting our series that Andy has mentioned many times, Transformed, and we're starting it today. Why do we run, every year we run a campaign? And last year we ran a campaign called 40 Days of Prayer. And I don't know if you, do you remember these books, if you were around? When we did 40 days of prayer, we did exactly the same thing. We had our Sunday sermons were all about prayer, and our midweek groups were all about prayer. And these included 40 days worth of like devotionals, so that every day, just on your own, you could take 10 minutes. I just need to let you know, it utterly transformed my prayer life. And if you really want to know, I think that all of this refurbishment of the building came because we did this campaign. Because it came right in the middle of it. And we were praying and praying and praying that God would provide for us. And we were praying and praying. And then in the middle of it, we then went and spoke to Barrett Homes. And Barrett Homes then decided to come and refurbish our building for us. It changes things. Now, the reason that we do things like as a campaign, and we're doing this campaign, is because, as anybody who is a teacher will know, we all like learn really differently. Some people really love to learn sort of like verbally, you know, like you sit and listen and then you take in and you just like love that. And you're probably, if you're the people that really love to sit and listen and take it all in, you're probably the people that did really well at school, because that's mostly how school works, or it used to work a lot of the time. You just sit there and you just have to listen and you take it all in. And but that's how some people learn. Some people really love to learn visually. They just want to see something. And they want to see either a film, or they want to see a demonstration of how to do it. And if they can see it, yeah, no, that's really good. Or they want to see a little bit of art or something, but they want to see how it works. And if they can see how it works with their eyes, they think, oh, yeah, that's how I learn. Or some people learn, like, verbally. If you are ever like me, you start an argument from one position, and by the time you've argued out, you're completely in the opposite place. So annoying! Incredibly frustrating. Why? It's because some people, that's how you learn. You talk it out. You verbalize it. You're an external processor. And you sort of like, you think, oh, yes. And as you talk about it, you think, oh, I'd never really thought about that. Well done, Duncan. And you don't even have to be with anybody sometimes. You can just be on your own and talk it out, and you get to another place.
Amen.
And there are some people that don't learn in any of those styles. And they're called men. Okay, now men. Now, well, Maria, don't say it quite so happily. No, I wasn't not being nasty. But if I'm honest, I think men a lot of the time learn by doing.
Amen.
They want to do stuff. I know there's instructions to it, but to be honest, I'll give it a go. It'll be fine. You might end up with some shed that's upside down and back to front, but it's fine. You give it a go and you try and learn it. And I think we do campaigns because we just have a period of time where we put all of those things together, all of them together, and we try and say, we're going to focus on this. So it's not just about Sundays when we come together, but it's also about getting together in small groups. And then you can read something, you can watch a DVD, then you can talk it out with some other people, and then you can say, practically, how are we going to do and what are we going to do? And so that is why that we're now starting this campaign called Transformed. We're going to take 7 Sundays after today to look at these 7 key areas of our lives. And I'm sure you'll know, but they're this. We're going to look at our spiritual health, one Sunday, 1 week on our spiritual health, our physical health, our mental health, our emotional health, our relational health, our financial health, and our vocational health, our work life. And sometimes you think, shouldn't we only really be doing the first one, our spiritual health? And you think, no, God made us, and he wants all of our areas to be in line with his thinking. So we're going to do a small group, and we're going to watch a short DVD on each one of those things. Then we're going to have a discussion, and then we've got these 50 devotionals over the next days where you can just go in. This is why this book is so important, because it's got these 50 devotionals in. Day 28, day 29, day 30. You can just go through it, and suddenly we will find that we begin to think more clearly. It's also got a memory verse in there. And the other thing that we will be doing is for each one of those areas, we're going to be led through this process of setting one goal for each of our areas. Because I believe that there is something important about being intentional and saying, no, we really want to do this. I want to grow and think more like Jesus in my work life like this. And so that is why, like, joining up to a small group is just so important. Now, I don't know how many people have signed up to a small group, but can I just encourage every single person to be part of a small group? Because it will, I think, you could just come on a Sunday and you'll get maybe 10% of what this campaign will be like. But if you connect into a small group, suddenly you're talking it through, you're understanding it with other people, you're being sharpened by other people, and we want to make it as easy as we practically can to join a group. So firstly, if you go online, Andy's put all of the groups online. You can just find a group there that you think is quite near you, and please sign up and join that group. The second thing is you can do this, and again, we're just going to change it. You can just do a group. If you've got a few friends and you want to do it, do it. Just do it. Do it yourselves. You don't actually have to lead anything. You just have to host something. All you have to do to have a group is you need to have a room, somewhere where you can watch a DVD, and somewhere where you can talk for about 30 minutes. That's it. And we will do everything. We will give you everything that you need to run that group yourself. We'll give you the DVD and we'll give you all the books, and you can just do it yourself. The next thing is, if you're new to the church and you think, oh, well, I don't really know, I haven't got any people in the church that I can go and do it with, or I don't really know who's going to sign up with, can I just invite you, please come and join the group that Jill and I are running at our home. We just love it. It'd be a really good way to get to know you, but it'd be really good to do it. But please come and join our group, and you can do that online or come and talk to me afterwards. But we really want to make it as easy as we possibly can. And then the last thing is, we just have to have everybody, please have a book. Has everybody got a book? Yeah. Okay, just, hey, if you got a book, put it up. Who hasn't got a book? Right, let's just do it now, shall we? Can we just get all these books out? Can we get all the boxes? Yeah, just get all the boxes out. Yeah, anybody who hasn't got a book. There is enough for everybody. Is Noetta in there? Noetta, oh yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Noetta's just printing them off. Good. Has everyone got a book? Okay. If you need to take a book for somebody who is at home, you are so welcome to do that. If you want to start a group on your own, and maybe with some friends that aren't necessarily here, then just come and speak to Andy afterwards, and he will give you the number of books that you need, and he will give you a DVD. But we're just trying to work out how we use the DVDs, because we're going to have a lot more groups than we thought we were. So we'll get that to you. But please take the books, run a group, join a group, or if you're new, we would love you to come and join our group. Who has? Okay, that's fine. Right. Everybody, if you've got a pen, just write your name in your book now. Just do it. Or use a sticker on the front if you're Dawla. Good, right, we all good to go? Last Sunday, I stood up here and we outlined some of our vision for us as a church. And we said our vision is this, that we are simply going to follow Jesus. Nothing else, nothing more. That's what we're going to do. We're going to follow Jesus. And in the light of that, I just need to read you a text that I got this... I can't remember what I got. I think I got it, yes. By the way, I've put my phone on, but I'm not receiving notifications.
Yeah. What's the score down
there? Yeah. Anyway.
How far behind are you?
So this is the text. This is the text that I got. And this text is from a friend of mine. He's a young guy in his 20s at uni. Life hasn't always been straightforward. And he says this, he watched something and read some Instagram posts, and then he sent this text to me. He said, I just need to let you know how people sometimes use Jesus, walk with him, until he gets you to the place where you want to go, i.e. the salary increase you wanted, or the healing you needed, or in my case, a medicine degree. And then, whether you get it or not, you always feel a sense of disappointment, because Jesus doesn't want just to use him. He wants you to realize that life is all about Jesus. Life wasn't created so that Jesus could play Sims with us all and get us new jobs and create houses for us and magically heal us, like using cheat codes like I used to use when I was playing Sims. Life was created to be all about Jesus and to show us his love and for us to love him in return. And then when we don't get the thing that we were using Jesus to get, we get angry with Jesus and go on a tantrum, and we don't read his book and we don't attend his church like I did. And then we just get really disconnected to Jesus. Obviously, we can still ask for all this stuff because Jesus does care a lot about us and our human life, but we just need to realize just how great and amazing and beautiful the life he has got for us in his second coming. And this tiny, sinful human life is nothing to worry about in the grand scheme of things. I thought, oh my word, he needs to start blogging. He needs to start writing something because he's caught something. And it's a journey for him back to faith, back to realizing that it is all about Jesus. And so last week we said, it is all about Jesus. Our lives are all about Jesus. However, having said that, there are times when it is really helpful to set some goals, to define what it means for us as a church. And these things up here, we have said that actually as a church, we want to be all about enjoying the presence of Jesus, transforming our local community and seeing people saved. And then we've also said that this is what we want it to feel like. We want to feel like we are a genuine community. We're like family, that we love one another. We want to feel that we're being courageous. We want to feel that we're living pure lives, that we're honoring one another, and we're the most generous people that we can possibly be. And then we also said, actually, and we also want to be a church of 200 people. And we want to be a church of 200 people that is planting, growing, and encouraging other churches across North London. And then a while back, we said we wanted to be a group of 5 churches working together. And then on our weekend away a few weeks ago, Phil Wilthew, who was speaking, came and prophesied that into us. I thought, well, that's already what we'd laid out. But thank you, that's fantastic. It was like God coming. And so we feel that everything is about Jesus. But we're not afraid of saying it's really good to have some goals.
Amen.
It's really good to say, no, this is where we want to go. So can we read? If you've got your Bibles, please. If you're worried that we weren't going to read the Bible, we are. And this is Philippians chapter 3, and it's verse 12. And it's just such a helpfully entitled passage when it's called Straining Toward the Goal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already obtained. Well, can you just turn to the person next to you or near to you and just say to them, I am not perfect. God, just don't. Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not supposed to be funny. Okay, now. Right, come back. And now the best bit is here. I want you, without pointing your finger, say, and neither are you. Okay, go on, say it. Sorry, I think there's a vague feeling that there is somebody over here somewhere that is actually perfect. I'm not really sure where it's going, but... Yeah, the cloud of glory over there. But, you know, if you are here this morning and you are thinking, well, to be fair, I don't like to draw attention too much, but, you know, I'm not doing too badly myself, you know. It's a little bit embarrassing, but not, you know, compared to them, I'm okay. If that is you, I just need to let you know these 7 weeks ain't for you. Yeah. Now we'll see who walks out. However, if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you want to press into more of him, then these are some good weeks for you. Because I want to be in that place where every area of my life is submitted to him, that I'm thinking more like Jesus in my health. And I'm thinking more like Jesus with my job. And I'm thinking more like Jesus in all of these different areas of our lives. And I think, I don't know, could you imagine what it would be like if we had a church where everybody in those seven areas that we were talking about, every single one of us, were thinking more and more like Jesus about those areas in our own lives. And we had set some godly goals to achieve in those areas. Imagine what it would be like. It would be extraordinary. Well, I believe that God is going to do something. And, you know, Paul said, look, I haven't achieved it. To be fair, he had done quite a lot. Other than Jesus, he's probably the most influential man that we have in the way that the church grew around him. And he said, look, I have not achieved all this, but I am pressing on to achieve this. He had a clear sense of a goal of what God had called him to do. He said, I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on to become more and more like Jesus. I want to become more like Jesus. You know, and sometimes if you've been a Christian for a long time, you think, oh, it's just same old. It's not, trust me. I want to become more like Jesus. How much does your past shape you? Paul said this, he's going to forget what's behind, forgetting what has gone on in the past. To be fair, Paul had some pretty major successes. He had some pretty amazing breakthroughs, but he also had some stunning failures as well. Before he was converted, you know, he wasn't a particularly nice person to be around. He wasn't. And yet somehow Paul was able to say, no, I'm going to forget all of those things and I'm going to press on to what is ahead. The past you can't change. We do know that. I know we know that. But we can't change. It's done. It's dusted. We can't do anything about the past. But what we can do is from this moment on, we're going to press on to what God calls us to do. Now, I am also aware that we can't change the past. But sometimes, you know, there are still things that we've done in the past that tear us apart, aren't they? And there are still things that every time we think, oh, God, no, I just, oh, I'm pants. Can I just tell you what to do? And this encapsulates the gospel in a nutshell. Confess your sin. Just come before God. 1 John 1, verse 9 says this, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just, and he'll forgive you, and he'll purify you. Hold on to that like anything. You have to say sorry. You know, you might have to apologize. You might have to go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry. I talked to somebody this week and they said something and they knew that it was really wrong and it really cut somebody out. They just apologized. I think sometimes you can make amends
I think I've mentioned this before. Have I ever told you that I wasn't a particularly nice boy?
No.
I'm not sure you can't believe it. So Lauren knows a few stories about, you know. No, I'm not even going to give you an example of some of them. But one of the things, have I ever told you that Simon and I nicked some money from an offering plate? Yeah, they do. Yeah, you remember. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, if you didn't hear it, okay. I used to go to an Anglican church when I was, you know, growing up. And they, instead of like passing this thing around, they had this big plate, like brass plate thing. And they'd put it, stupidly, I thought, they'd put it on this at the end of one sort of like aisle, one pew. And then there was just all this money. And I wasn't a particularly nice boy. You know, I was consumed in my own little world. I didn't really feel the consequences of any action that I took. And anyway, then I saw this money, I thought I could do with a tenner. Yeah, it was only a tenner, yeah. What, would you do more? Maria would be there, yeah, I'll just take the whole lot. Yeah. Anyway, so I saw this money there. And then I thought, right, I'm going to sit right next to this. I'm going to sit right next to it. And then one of the ushers came up to me and said, ah, Duncan, I see you're guarding the offering plate. And I thought, yes. Little did he know. When everyone was worshipping, I just thought, oh, I'll have that. Put a tenner in my pocket. Nicked some money out of it. I wasn't particularly like proud of it. But do you know what? Years later, there was this moment when the Holy Spirit really fell. And you can tell when the Holy Spirit falls on you because you feel convicted of all these things from years and years ago. And actually, it was a really powerful moment. And I had to go and say sorry to quite a few people, if I'm really honest. And then I also had to write this letter to, I don't know, what is it called? The Parochial Church Council of St. Paul's Leamington Spa. And I must have been, I don't know, about 26 or something. And so, dear PCC, you may not know this, but about 15 years or so ago, I nicked some money from your offering plate, and then I worked out how much that tenner would have been worth, and then I put it in the thing, and I just, look, I'm going to give you this money because I'm so sorry. Now, I'm not saying that to either tell you that what a nasty boy I was or the fact, you know, that you have to go and do that, but all I'm saying is that sometimes our past affects us, and you can make decisive action to change that. And you don't have to live with the guilt and the pain of your past all the time. Amen. You confess your sin. Yes. You apologize. And if you can make amends, you do it. But then you lean on God's grace. Amen. And you say, like Paul says, I am going to go forward and see how God is going to use me. I think to aim at something is a really, really good idea. Somebody once told me when I was young, if you aim at nothing, young man, you'll hit it. And it's true. If we have no sense of what we're aiming for at all, we will probably hit it. Paul had an overwhelming sense of direction and purpose. And in the passage we read, he said, I'm striving towards the goal of becoming more and more like Christ. God has eternity. God has goals. He has goals for eternity, for the world, for salvation, for history. He has goals for you and he has goals for me. Jesus had some really clear goals that he laid out, what he was going to do and therefore what he wasn't going to do. And actually, if we do not have any goals for our lives, the danger is that we will sometimes just coast and then we'll have another year and then another year and another year when the leaves begin to fall and we see, oh, it's autumn again and another year's gone, bang, we haven't actually become more like Christ. I want to challenge us to say to have some goals in our life is a good thing, and that is what this campaign will be like. In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, Paul says this, so do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. Do not box as one beating the air. And I'd encourage every single one of us to say, what is it that God has called me to do? We made a decision that actually discipleship in this church would look like this. What is God saying to you to do, and what are you going to do about it? Action. Goals. Do you know, on the 11th of April, 2003, that was the first Sunday service of this church. A few of us gathered together. Maria, you heard that. Maria was the first person to get baptized. That's why she's the only one that's allowed to call out all the time and interrupt me.
No, stop it. Okay, stop it. Stop it. I didn't mean it. But you know, on that service, we said this. God's called us to be a church of 200 people who plant churches. It's never changed. All the time. That's what God has said. It's been this underlying thing, and it's kept us going. And sometimes it's been really difficult, and sometimes our numbers have gone down, and then we've gone up again. And actually, but we're not going to be overly defined by that, but we do say, but well, that is the direction of travel that we want to go in. And therefore, when we have this building here, can we get 200 people in this building? We're not really sure. Therefore, we have to think, okay, what can we do? What can we do to grow some capacity in our midst? It is important to have something that we are aiming at. I want to just say that if you are possibly here this morning and you don't feel full of the joys of spring and you don't feel, oh, life is great, come on, let's go, you just feel a bit bruised or a bit, I don't know, defeated, or you feel a bit down, I just say God's got real grace for you.
Amen.
God loves you. God really loves you. And maybe it's time to say, God, what are you calling me to do? What goals are you calling me to set in my life? The more we focus on Jesus in that, the more goals will come through. Next thing I just want to mention is this, and sorry we can't have it up on the screen, is this, but God wants you to do far more in you than you think. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within that is within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever. I think sometimes I have so limited what God wants to do through me because my vision has been like just too small. Paul wanted to preach the gospel around the whole of the Mediterranean. The whole world. Imagine, you know, and that's when they didn't even have proper maps. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't have internet. They didn't have like GPS. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't have flight. I mean, it's just like months. But he said, no, that's what I'm going to go and do. And sometimes I think we allow ourselves to just think, no, God isn't really going to use me particularly well. And I think some of the mistakes that we make on when we set goals, we set them too low and we want to achieve them too quickly. But I think sometimes we can overestimate what we can do in the short term and we underestimate what we can do in the long term. But I think God has got something for us. How big are your goals? Well, that is the wrong question to ask. The question is, how big is God? And what does he want to do? I feel this almost this impartation of the Spirit today. Where you think, oh no, God, just raise my eyes to what you want to do through me and make yourself available. What is God saying to you and what are you going to do? And just to carry on with that theme, Matthew 9 talks about when Jesus was passing by these two blind men, and it says the blind men, they cried aloud and they said, have mercy on us, son of David. And when Jesus entered the house of these blind men, they came to him and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And the blind men said to him, yes, Lord. And then Jesus touched their eyes and said this, according to your faith, it'll be done. The weird thing is, what he was saying is that the amount of faith that those blind men had, that is the response, that is the amount of faith that Jesus would do. Actually, the extent that Jesus can work through you is dependent on the extent that we trust that he's going to work through us. He wants to work through us. He wants to do something that is incredibly different from what we might imagine. And on the weekend away, Phil Wilfie talked about this victorious mindset. And I'm still trying to work out what it is. And I need to go back and, you know, maybe just talk about it together. But I think there's sometimes people talk about this victorious mindset. And frankly, it's annoying because it just says in every situation, no, God is victorious and we'll barge through. And they think, no, it's not quite like that. But there is this overwhelming sense that, no, God is doing something and the increase of his government will see no end. And actually, he wants to do so. He wants to grow something in your life. He wants to use you to see his kingdom coming more and more and more. And so what we're going to be doing over these next 7 weeks is begin to set some goals. What is it that God wants to do through your life? Goals sometimes just keep us going. If you are going through hell at the moment, Just a word of advice, don't stop. If you're going through hell, don't stop there. Just keep going. And sometimes you need some goals the other side to keep you going beyond where you are. Proverbs 6 verse 11 says this, I don't have the strength to endure because I have nothing to live for. If you have something to live for, if you have goals, God will keep, it will keep you going. Did you know that, now I need to sort of like check this out, but apparently Holocaust survivors, at the end of the Second World War, they looked at Holocaust survivors. Now, there was a recurring theme on those who survived the Holocaust, those who survived living in the concentration camps. And the recurring theme was this, they had something to live for. Now, for millions, they didn't have a choice, whether they had something to live for or not. That wasn't the point. That just like this genocidal carnage, they didn't have a choice. But for those that were living in the camps for years, those who survived had this recurring theme. They were living for something. They had somebody they wanted to see. They had a person they wanted to go to be with. They had a home to get back to. They had a goal. And you know, we need some goals that will say, God, keep us going, keep us pressing on to all that you have for us. And I think if we do feel a little bit down, now is maybe the time to say, no, I'm going to use these next 7 weeks to set some goals in these seven areas of my life. We're going to finish and draw this to an end. To finish, what type of goals should you be setting in your life? Firstly, goals that honour God. Goals that honour God. Goals that will help you to trust in Jesus more. That will depend on his love and will enable you to serve him. The second thing about what type of goals should you have are this. That goals that are motivated by love. God is not going to bless your goals, and I've got a list here. Goals is not going to bless goals that are set and are motivated by greed, competition, envy, guilt, grudges, fear, worry, anxiety, materialism, ego, pride, and anything else you can think of. Those are not the goals that God is going to bless. But God is going to bless the goals that are motivated by loving the unlovely, by loving the unloved, by loving the unlovable. Goals that are motivated by bringing the love of Christ. And then the last one is this. What type of goal? Goal that honours God, motivated by love, and lastly, that requires faith. Hebrews 11 says this, it's going to be impossible to please God if we have goals that don't require him to trust us. I tell you what, it's not really a really great goal if we say we want to be a church of 200 now. We went away on a weekend, and with a few other people, we were 202. That's not going to work, is it? That's not going to exercise great faith to say, we want to be a church of 200. Well, we're pretty much there now. We have to say, God, thank you. What else have you got for us now? What does it look like? Perhaps not defined by numbers, but what is it you want us to be about shaping something in this community? And then lastly, Romans 14, verse 23 says this. Anything that doesn't come from faith is what? It's sin. We've got to have faith. We're going to trust in Jesus. Can I just ask you to stand? It's hot in here, isn't it? Everything that I've mentioned this morning will actually mean very little unless we find ourselves in a group with other people. Because that's in a group that you'll begin to set some goals. You won't have to publicly say what they are. You won't have to say, no, I'm doing this. But that will be the context where you can just prayerfully say, this is what I believe God is calling me to do. And I just would urge you, go online, join a group, start your own group, speak to Cooley if you need the resources. Or if you're visiting, Jill and I would love you to come and join our group. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that over these next 50 days,
we would not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And these seven key areas that we're going to look at, Jesus, we give them to you. And Lord, we're full of expectation and say, Lord, what is it that you're going to do through us? I want to pray for such extraordinary freedom. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and empower us. We say we don't want to do this in our own strength. It's not just about us trying harder. But Lord, we're going to worship you. We're going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us again and again. And as you do that, transform us, Lord. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.